You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean, and ooh, I'm excited today. Well, usually we have like a the episode one of any season is like the opening thoughts on the new Kanye album. And this is kind of that, but not that, because I guess the album, it hasn't come out yet, so it's not that.
Yeah, right. We have a CD quality version of essentially the Miami performance of Donda 2, but that's not necessarily the final version of Donda 2.
Right.
Which, you know, Miami was 16 tracks out of the 22 that it was supposed to be on the album, so we're missing 6 tracks. And then even then, the version that we most recently got doesn't have Mr. Miyagi, and instead has a song called Keep It Burning, even though Keep It Burning has since been removed. So, chaos.
Keep It Burning. I never even got to hear it. I mean, what the heck, Kanye? You can't do this to me.
Are you, wait, you didn't get to hear it?
No, I like the whole living, breathing album thing, but not if it means I never get to hear a song.
Oh, man. I should just play it for you. Just like call you and then play it over the phone.
Yeah, you should just play it live on the air here, and we'll post it on YouTube.
We'll not be doing that.
I've learned my lesson. Oh man! But I'm excited to talk about this because even if the album isn't done, and maybe not even like really that close to being done, there are a lot of really cool ideas and sounds going on that give us some insight into what the album's going to be about, which. Again, I love what Kanye's doing here. I like this idea of like slowly introducing an album and kind of playing with it and figuring it out and us getting to see into that. It's cool.
Yeah, we've talked a bit on various YouTube videos, maybe even on the... maybe we didn't. I was going to say on some of the podcast episodes, but the living album philosophy that Ye first put forth on The Life of Pablo was a really cool idea, but one of the things that I was always a little bittersweet about was how few changes we actually got, which is fine because I love Pablo. It's like a top Kanye album for me.
Yeah.
But there was still something to the idea of like, oh, this is going to be a living, breathing album. And then it was just like a couple little switches here and there of like, he changed this lyric. They took out like this thing in the production or added this thing that's like very subtle kind of stuff. But we did get the Wolves revamp, which was cool. And then, of course, St. Pablo edition was huge. But then the album just, that was it. Like, so it was a couple changes and that was that. And it was like, okay, was it quite the living album concept in full effect? And then with Donda, we kind of saw it a little bit more through the listening parties and then finally getting the album. There was one album update, then the deluxe version of the album. So you had a little bit more of that philosophy brought into the rollout. But now here with Donda 2, we're really getting the full living album experience. And I think that's really cool to see.
I mean, it's awesome. You're totally right. Like the way Kanye's progressed with this idea to the point where now like, We're pretty much hearing demos live. Like demos usually come way after. So you can be like, oh, remember when this song sounded shitty? Like, ah, that's cool to listen to. This approach, like, and not that any of Kanye's songs sound shitty. It's just, you know, compared to the final product.
How dare you?
I think this approach, I mean, God, I feel like people are going to roll their eyes and like, call me a nerd or pretentious or something, but I like high art concepts. I like when an artist is pouring themselves this much into a project, and as a result, it ends up revealing a lot about them. Like the fact that we're experiencing this album in real time and watching it change and take shape, it creates way more insight into Kanye than just hearing the album would. Like it really expands the idea of what an album can be and what a story can be and how it can have different layers and grow and morph. It's a very interesting idea, and to watch him actually executing it, like taking the bold kind of step to execute it, knowing everyone will hate you because you're not just giving them a finished album. I mean, that's a man dedicated to his art.
Well, I think it's very powerful for artists as well, just to see, because I remember back in the day when I was in middle school, high school, and just getting started with writing poetry, I used to be completely flummoxed about the skill that I was seeing, right? You're really just seeing like the top tier work that these artists put out. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting there being like, how do I ever write a poem as good as what like T.S. Eliot wrote, Ezra Pound wrote, Robert Frost wrote? Like, how do I get there? But as you get older and you start to read more of these artists and find out more about them, you're like, oh, T.S. Eliot wrote some boring and bad poetry. Like Robert Frost wrote some boring and bad poetry. Like the top works aren't the normal for a lot of these artists. And then as you get like even older and more experienced and steeped in the art world, you start to realize that the process is often incredibly messy. Like it always makes me laugh because people talk about how like, oh, look how Yeezus was rushed. Like Kanye didn't even like record some of the verses until 2 hours before he was like the album was due and he was taking off. This is the difference between old Kanye on the College Dropout and new Kanye, or like The Life of Pablo. People will point to that as seeing like, oh, see, he just threw it together. There was no thought, no care. But when you go back and hear stories of the College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation, he was doing the same shit. Like,
yeah,
he was having people send verses in the night before the album was due. He was still recording things up till the last minute. Like, this isn't new behavior. It's just in the digital age, in the media age we're in now, we can see so much more of how things are made, and artists are showing more of how things are made, that I think that's really helpful for up-and-coming artists just to be like, oh, the process isn't perfect. The process is messy. Like, especially going from where some of the songs were on Donda 1 to Donda 2 to Donda 3. It's like, off the grid wasn't just off the grid. Like, it was something that kind of got, like, crafted, revamped, and you just kind of get to see a little bit behind the scenes, which can be messy. Of course, there's going to be people that are like, just give me the final product. I don't want to hear, like, half created songs, yada, yada, yada. But I think really there's a lot more payoff for people doing it this way, or at least a lesson for people doing it this way, than if you were to just always release things as the final product.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you're saying all that, I do realize it is pretty inspiring to me. I was so caught up in a work, work, work mentality for a long time, like, you know, the 40-hour work week. And just like having deadlines as a journalist, like to kind of be on the other side of that, like you and I like kind of are doing our own things now. And I have more time to like think about these songs and write about movies. I guess I'm going to come to realize that maybe Kanye is inspiring me in that way to not feel so pressured to like spit something out and have it done. You could spend time on what you're working on and take care of it and let it grow and evolve, and Who cares what anyone's saying? Like, it's your art. Like, you want it to be perfect, so go for it.
Yeah. I mean, but even within that, like, you want it to be perfect, but we're seeing the imperfect versions of it, which is one of the, like, inspiring things about it as well. Like, you can take time, but you can also, like, release things that aren't perfect, and that's okay as well.
Yeah. It, because even if they aren't perfect, like, still emotional. We still see the ideas in all these songs we're about to talk about. Like, it's just so unique and different that I don't know even why anyone could be mad about it. Like, we're witnessing history.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like the equivalent if we were to like record part of a podcast and put it up and then record the rest of it and add that. Or if we were writing an article, like what if we were writing our next Film Colossus article and we just kept posting like drafts of the Tenet piece?
Yeah,
so it's right. Like, oh, we only have 500 words, but this is the start of it. And like a week later, it's updated with the next like 1,000 words and then 2,000. I don't think that would work as well, but maybe.
Let's stop treating it like a hypothetical situation and just do it.
Yeah, try it with one of these. That'd actually be pretty fun.
You could do it with, I'm trying to think of a movie that, I guess Tenet kind of works. Like you never know what's happening, you know, or like what's real, what's reality.
Yeah, form and function colliding.
Absolutely.
But so we have like the other day, four songs were posted, right? In the aftermath of the concert, four songs were posted and we were in Miami and we got to go our immediate reactions to the concert, but really we hadn't heard the album, right? Because being in the stadium, you don't really hear things the way that you do if you're listening to the stream. So I was listening to the stream on the flight back. I think got through the album like three or four times.
I think three times for me.
Yep. And then I heard the first four songs that were uploaded to Stem Player. I was just blown away by the difference in quality. And now getting all 16 tracks, Miami version, I've gotten through it 1.5 times. But you haven't gotten Keep It Burning, which is a shame.
No, I know. I did listen to the album. I mean, I kind of was just listening to it throughout the day, so I probably listened to it like three times today. And man, it honestly makes me kind of cringe about the way I was talking about it after the listening party.
Really?
Which, I mean, it's not fair to like, I couldn't hear the album, like truly. It's not the same. Like Kanye's up there running around, Playboy Party's screaming. Like there's like an element and energy to it that I was really, I think, reflecting onto the album itself. And because after the listening party, we were talking about how brash and in your face it is. Mm-hmm. And it often is at times. Like it has that energy for sure. And I remember saying like, oh, I wonder where like the vulnerability is, you know?
Oh.
And then kind of coming to it now, like it's sort of nothing but vulnerability. Like it is brash in parts, but that brashness is just like disguising emptiness and loss and hopelessness. This album is way heavier than I thought it was.
Oh, it's not like brash in the way that Yeezus had a superficial brashness, right? Like On Sight is brash, seemingly out of like nothing other than ego. Same thing with something like I'm In It, I'm a God. Like the front that the Yeezus character is putting on is very intense and like kind of hard to see through. Where in this, a lot of the brashness comes from a place of like, oh, he's hurting. Like he's frustrated. We talked a lot about how Donda was one of the most grounded Ye albums in terms of like, we always talk how his albums are dramatizations of what he had recently been going through in his life. So there was a degree of truth and reality to them, but often like rendered cinematically, right? Like The College Dropout has a lot of truth to it, but is a cinematic version of the story that you're watching in the Genius documentary, right? Or that you're hearing at the end of Last Call.
Right.
Same kind of thing with Graduation. Like Graduation is very much about Ye's like rise into stardom, his relationship with Chicago, but it's all rendered in this over the top kind of way until you get to Big Brother, which pulls the curtain back a little bit. 808s and Heartbreak, like as personal as that album is, it's also very dramatized a lot of the time, very cinematic a lot of the time, except for something like God's Sister Getting Married by the Lake or Pinocchio Story. Those kind of feel like the moments that the curtain's getting pulled back. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like it's all performance. Like there's so much performance on the albums, but Donda really felt like, Donda really felt like there was more Kanye in the album than ever before. And I feel like this is a next level of that, at least from initial listening, in terms of, as you're saying, that vulnerability, that brashness, the emotion that's just kind of pouring through in a reaction to where he's currently at with everything with Kim.
Yeah. You know what? God, I'm glad we didn't record this episode earlier, and I'm glad we haven't even talked about Donda 2 that much up until now, because my opinions on it have, like, really, because at the listening party, I was really into it. Like, I liked how in your face it was. And then as I came back to it, and I was, I mean, maybe it was mostly because I was listening to the live stream, which doesn't sound as good. I was kind of a little let down by it. Like, I had these moments of, like, is this going to be the first Kanye album that I'm, like, kind of not into? Because it's so, like, for as much as Kanye does talk about his life and pulls back the curtain a lot, it's also that kind of lyricism is always donned with, like, fantastical elements. Like, it's so huge and so epic, and it really, like, defamiliarizes it in this, like, movie-like way a lot of the times, in a way that I love about Kanye. I love that it's so extra. And this album is, it's so personal, like, it's so specific that I kind of wondered, like, is it going to have that, like, broader reach that inspires people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that element where you remove yourself and kind of make a character that people can relate to. Like, this isn't that a lot of the times. Like, he is specifically talking about his children or about the divorce, about people in his life that are, like, standing in his way. Like, maybe because, like, this part of Kanye's life is so in the news that it almost feels like it's too much of a reflection of, like, what we're experiencing right now. But obviously, as I've listened to it more, I've kind of started to pick up, like, I'm more okay with that now. I do think the album is that way, but I just don't think that's a problem for me anymore. I think that's such incredible insight, such a intimate view of his life and psyche that we're getting right now. Again, of somebody who has such an extra personality on social media and in the news headlines, yet on the other side of that is this guy, is what we're hearing in our headphones right now. It's so heavy in a way that none of his albums, I think, have had the chance to be, because it's so personal.
And that's one of the things I always look forward to with the albums, is that we describe them as essentially journals of that period of his life. And as much as Ye puts out into the public space through social media, through interviews, they give his perspective and feelings on things. Like, anybody that's been following him over the last couple months knows exactly kind of how he's feeling, or not, like, exactly, but they get a general idea of how he's feeling towards Kim, towards Pete, towards everything with his kids. Like, you know, a lot of the major concerns and issues that he has, and that where he's kind of at in terms of topics that he's concerned about. But there's a difference between hearing what an artist is saying not through their art, and then what an artist says and shows through their art. So it's like, you can go back and watch interviews that Kanye was doing, like, before and after Yeezus, and get an idea of the album. But when you go and listen to Yeezus, there's elements to what he's saying that hit in a completely different way, or there's nuance that he can't express in those interviews or in those moments that only comes through in the art and how he's putting the art together, which always makes the project so extra fascinating to me, as this kind of confessional of the things that don't get said in the media, that don't get said. So it's like, you hear songs like True Love, Broken Road, or even Sci-Fi has been one of the standout tracks, I think. And you see the emotion of that. And it's like, we see all the kind of aggressive, in quotes, Instagram posts to, like, Kim, to Skeet, like, to the media, the all caps. But then so many songs on this album aren't aggressive in that way. They're, like, pain, they're longing, they're emotional, they're, like, upset, where you do get songs like Security, right? have that kind of, like, posturing to them.
Yeah.
But I think the dynamic range of the emotions of this really, like, wins the day and makes it so compelling, even as an unfinished album.
Yeah. Totally. Like, again, you see all of the ideas in place. Like, obviously the execution isn't quite there yet, but this also isn't the official album. This is our sneak preview at it. So it's really awesome. If anything, it kind of makes the album a little more... obviously, it'll be more powerful when it's finished, but like there's some element to it that feels more real because like the songs aren't finished. Like it's this deep look into Kanye as opposed to like a song.
Yeah, there's that rawness.
Yeah, right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, so anything else before we start giving some thoughts on individual tracks?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. And of course, we haven't been able to do the kind of like discussion and analysis we usually do. So this is more just first reactions.
I haven't even read through the lyrics. So,
yeah. So just keep that in mind that this isn't going to be like the usual watching the throne, like. Elucidations and deep dives.
Yeah, the kind of podcast analysis that like changes your life, like it's probably not going to be that.
Right? No.
Yeah.
But we will get some cool thoughts. Sure. So starting off, we have, which it's like tripping me up that the Genius track list is so different than the Miami track list.
I don't even know why the Genius track is in that order.
Is it like the photo that Ye posted? Is this keeping with the track list in that photo?
But isn't Security the first song?
On the photo or on Genius?
On Genius.
Yeah, on Genius it is. It was the first song on the last track list he posted.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, I see. Because at the listening party, that was not the case.
Mm-mm. It was, yeah. So, okay, they're keeping to the track list that he posted. It was Security, Lift Me Up, Get Lost, Pablo... True Love, yeah.
Wow, okay. That's a random order.
So it's very different.
Yeah.
I'm curious to like, I need to make a track listing order that's like that order to see if anything jumps out to me.
Yeah, I would have to think about it more. I mean, True Love as an opener, it makes sense, right? Like I can understand this kind of. I guess it does make sense because Kanye is kind of like yearning for the family and imagining this world where like his kids can dig their way to him. You know, it's really cool how it plays with the idea of love stories and what they're supposed to be versus like what it actually is. And that's a really great introduction to like what his life is like right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what jumped out to me about this is you get like True Love thinking this is going to be like, oh, True Love. And instead it's just True Love shouldn't be this complicated. Really getting at the crux of the matter, and with X saying "thought I'd die in your arms," just getting at the divorce, and this is one of the most realized songs I think from like Ye's verse. You don't get any mumbling; it's just like a very poignant, powerful verse into the chorus.
Man,
and having X come through with like as much as divided as opinions are. On X as a person and X as an artist, there was something very powerful that he tapped into in terms of the kind of that 808s-ness of like singing and having that like emotion in the voice. Like his voice carries like multitudes in how he's performing this chorus. And one of his collaborators, and producer John Cunningham had posted to social media that True Love wasn't recycled or unused lyrics. It was one of the few songs we started in 2018, but never finished.
Yeah, it's, I feel like I'm getting into, we already said we weren't going to do the typical analysis, but I'm already getting in like conspiracy mode, like predicting what Kanye's trying to do with his own. I mean, he does use a lot of artists posthumously, like he uses, bars from these people who are no longer here. It is interesting to think of the song in that light. Like, I thought I'd die in your arms, like the wishing you could be with somebody yet you're not there. This idea that like you're not physically dead, but like you're kind of dead to them. And they talk about Virgil a couple times in the album, especially in Louis Bags, like that exact sentiment is expressed. I just wonder if that's that tone is like kind of guiding the album and why it's the first song.
You have him saying like in the chorus, as like X is saying true love, like should it be this complicated? Ye's coming through with daddy's not gone. Daddy's at home. Tell, and I'm not going to say this right because I've never heard the name pronounced and didn't think to look it up, but Gekyume or Gekyume.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a just a concept that X really liked, but it's also what he named his kid, which is why Ye saying, like, daddy's not gone, like, tell Gekyume, like tell X's kid that daddy's not gone. Like, there's something really sad and powerful and emotional about that. And you can kind of see the dovetailing, as you're saying, of like the actual like existential distance that X has and the distance that Ye is feeling from his kids due to the divorce. Damn. It's really, when you start going that deep into it, really powerful, really sad, like really sets a tone, as you're saying.
Yeah, and thinking about the way you're describing it and like the that tone, it's so perfectly expressed by the very spare production of that song. Like, it's a very somber song and has like a sadness to it, like but at the same time, it's really heavy with those drums. Like, it comes in immediately with the drums in a way like Donda didn't necessarily do, you know? It's it creates this brooding space. I guess that's what it perfectly sets up, is all the brooding that's happening.
Much brooding. Yeah, but great opener. I've seen a lot of people talking about how like this is the highlight of the album. This would have been a number one song. This is like an instant classic. Like, the reactions to this song have been like overwhelmingly positive. Which leads to another like song that just kind of continuing the tone, Broken Road.
Yeah. Paying a toll on a broken road.
Man, yeah, this is just a haunting, like, it's stuck in my head all day for the last few days.
Yeah.
And it's another use of Don Toliver, like with Moon, where it's just kind of this shorter song that's a minute and a half, 2 minutes, repeating kind of a focused idea, like, I want to go to the moon, like, pay the toll on the broken road. And Toliver really delivers in this meaningful way, which the main difference being that we have a verse from Ye on this. You wonder if it's going to be built out a little bit more and become like have a second verse,
right?
Have maybe some kind of breakout from Don Toliver, but as is, I think, especially following True Love, it's like a very powerful 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and it gives you, it gives its character some personality. Like, suddenly, like, the first song is a little broader and just like him like reflecting on the situation, and then like this looks like a deep pour into the him. Like, that wasn't me, that was Tyler Durden. Like, suddenly he's like defending himself and like kind of, I guess that's it, like defending himself and saying like, look, like, this is why this happened. Like, I just need to be with my family. Like, please don't take them away.
Yeah, love is a perfect, love is a version of being a virgin again.
Yeah.
But then the Tyler Durden reference got a pop from me.
Oh, yeah.
Just got it. At the stadium. As someone whose favorite movie is Fight Club, it's just exciting whenever Ye makes a Fight Club reference, which this is, what, the second one?
Yeah. Bound 2, right?
Bound 2, and then this, and we got a Brad Pitt reference on Believe What I Say. As well, but Ye shouts out Brad Pitt maybe more than any other like actor.
I mean, he's probably the biggest actor of our time, right?
Absolutely, like one of them, him and Leo.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you're right, Leo would be top contender too.
But yeah, I've had Broken Road stuck in my head a lot, so
good fit.
Next one. What do we got?
Yeah, let's keep it moving, Chris. You're on a time limit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
You forgot.
I have somewhere to be. I have an appointment. Get Lost. Okay.
Yeah.
We have Get Lost. This is one that's kind of been lost in the shuffle for me.
Oh, how ironic.
Yeah. Like, even looking at the lyrics right now, I'm like, wait, how's this one go again?
I think that's okay. To me, it's more of a great idea for a song. Like, you could see it blowing up and becoming something more epic, filled with more, like, ideas and sounds. But I guess I could also see this, seeing this work as, like, a standalone interlude, which means it needs to be, like, mixed within an album a little better, you know? Like, either way they take it, I feel like it needs to become something more powerful. But it's cool. Like, I do like the echo and reverberation that's happening. Like, his voice, it's a cool. I feel like it might be an artistic choice. This is where people can roll their eyes again. Like, his voice cuts off as he, like, I get lost sometimes. Like, his voice stops quickly, but then the echo continues to bounce around. So it's this really static moment pitted against, like, massive emptiness. It's very heavy. That's all I could get when I was hearing that sound. I was like, oof, I feel like I'm like floating in a black hole, you know, just like, and there's nothing but emptiness around me.
You singing it sparked my memory, and I'm just like, oh yeah. I get lost sometimes.
Yeah.
Remember, do I cross your mind? Yeah. This was the song that had me tweet out, like, during the show, like, is this way more experimental than, is it as experimental as it seems? Because hearing the production on this, just his delivery of the lines felt very different than anything. And some of the responses to that were coming through, granted, not immediately afterwards. People were seeing it like six songs later, five songs later, were just like, no, it sounds like a typical future trap album. Or it's like a very, like, if trap is experimental, yada, yada. Hmm. And going back and listening to the album a couple times, I was just like, this doesn't sound, maybe I need to, I've been listening to the wrong trap albums. But the majority of this album still feels very dynamic and experimental to me, and not like your standard. Maybe there are a couple songs that you're like, oh, that's more trap. The same way that City of Gods feels more drill, or just like off the grid Little Brother. But I'm not thinking of like True Love as sounding like a typical trap song, or
right.
Keep It Burning. You know, Travis, Keep It Burning.
Oh yeah. That sounds nothing like a typical trap song.
Sci-fi, like all the clapping and flowers.
I would agree with you. I think I feel like Kanye's always kind of experimental. Like I put something like Get Lost up against Freestyle 4. Like they both kind of have similar intentions, like as a short song where, like, I don't know, but they have completely different energies and they're more of album tracks and they assist in telling the story. So you could think of it as experimental in that way, because that's not super typical, especially for a song like this to have like really no music or anything. Like it's just echo, you know.
It's kind of the Never Abandon Your Family of Donda 2.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, Chris, don't say that. too heavy,
too easy. The next song.
Oh, okay, this might be my favorite.
Two words. Sorry, I have Genius on the mind. So too easy is your favorite.
It could be. It's the song that, at least musically, production wise like I find the most interesting. I don't know, well, lyrically I do too, because I was thinking about it. Like, it has a very heavy bass that's mixed with this, like, very sorrowful and longing tone from Kanye. And then the music has the same contrast. So you have these, like, light, angelic sounds mixed with, like, sirens and bass, you know? And then the lyrics themselves have these contrasts. Like, remember at the dawn, waiting for my whole life. So, like, just a single day and the rise of a new day to, like, thinking about your whole life. Living in utter bliss, but have no mind. Turn around to leave nothing but new light, like nothing and new, like bliss, but like you don't have any, like people think you're out of your mind. Like it's playing with a lot of ideas and there's so much contrast going on that the song becomes this giant like that's what's going on in Kanye's mind, like what people see and who he actually is, you know.
Yeah. Oh man. I like all of that. And yeah, the production on this is really cool, especially in like contrast to the songs that we had just previously gotten. It's like a different kind of lightness that, I mean, it's an easy comparison to talk about the lightness on Believe What I Say. And I don't think this is similar to Believe What I Say in terms of production, but just in terms of having a little bit of brighter elements in the production in the midst of so much like heaviness that had just been going on. Yeah. Or in the case of the previous track, not having any production going on.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like it so much. Like, it's such a reprieve from the first three songs, which aren't exactly like full songs yet, you know? Like, maybe there's going to be more added to them, but they seem more introductory in a way, where this song feels like a full-bodied song with like verse, chorus, verse, you know? Like, it opens up, and because of that, it has so much, like, there's so many ideas being expressed.
Yeah, this is one that is like very strange to me, but it's grown on me. Like, I could see people dismissing it or not liking it at first, but I think it's going to be one that people just kind of like has a cult following.
Ooh, I'll be the head of that cult.
Yeah. It's the hell of the life of the album. Hell of the life, hell of a life.
Hell of the life. We should get Kanye to rename that song.
Yeah. Yay, I know you agreed to do an interview. But how about instead of doing the interview, just rename Hell of a Life to Hell of the Life?
We'll just make it our first question. Like, Kanye, will you do this for us?
Please. I said please, and you said no. This interview is over.
That's not Christ-like.
Flowers. Flowers is the next bop on this album.
Flowers.
And I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about Flowers. Just the snippet that we heard, I was like, okay, I could see me either getting really into this or this being some of the production that I'm not quite as into. But Flowers has been one of my favorites, especially I guess it's one of the like the biggest songs. It is two shorter verses, but it still has like three verses. Over the course of the song, and then that outro like with the clapping is just so cool to me. It was cool in the stadium, like everybody started clapping, sounded great.
I love the sound of it, and I like what it's doing. I wish I could, when we dig into the lyrics, obviously we'll learn more, but I feel like the sense I get from the song is Kanye's reflecting on like what he brought to Kim's life and then what it's like for her now. It's weird to think of somebody that way. Like, you were such an important part of their life at one point, but now, like, you're kind of not, and they're going a different direction. And it's like him, so much of the album and from Donda to Donda 2, like, has been reflecting on himself and where he's at and where he'll go. It's interesting to think of him thinking about Kim and, like, kind of being worried about her and worried what's got to happen to other people because of, you know, everything that happened to him.
Wasn't sure if it was about Kim.
Yeah, I wondered that too, if it was like I said, I'm just kind of like throwing out ideas, but
yeah,
I did wonder if it was like your typical like replacement figure, you know, like she represents something.
Yeah, because it's like, why are you so scared that somebody find out? I'm a flex, imagine your ex face when you find out. Like, it struck me as like meeting someone new.
Yeah,
it's like scared to say that they're in some kind of relationship with Ye.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that as well. So yeah, that too also presents a lot of like cool and interesting ideas.
Yeah, especially in contrast with how so much of the album is focused on the divorce. So seeing kind of like a single Ye, single Ye song as he's dating. But then it's like, took you out that Metro housing, drop your name on my new album is interesting too.
Yeah, but that, love the sound of that sound. It's like, again, light sounds mixed with heavy bass as a constant on this album.
Security comes up next, and Security,
love
that got one of the biggest pops I think in the stadium.
I've been saying all the lines over and over. Like, I had to play the song for Lauren so she would know why I keep doing it. Because I can't just look at her and go, I don't need security for this.
You weren't looking at her and saying, I put your security at risk.
I did. At first I was, and just like, I think she was just kind of ignoring me because she's used to it. But then I was like, I have to play this for you. And now she started doing it. Like, it's infectious.
Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, it does have a little bit of that, like, I don't want to say, like, meme quality, because it's such a, like, it's serious, right?
Right.
But it's not serious. Like, you can kind of feel, like, Ye's
performance.
Yeah, performing, kind of, like, hyperbolizing it. Like, oh, I put your security at risk? Okay.
Security is going to need security for this.
Yeah, it's the I Love Kanye of the album.
I don't know. I think it fucking works, though. I feel like this is probably an element Marilyn Manson brought to the album. Like, there is this kind of irreverent rock element. Like, Marilyn Manson and Playboi Carti could have brought this, like, you know, as you say, mean side out of Kanye.
I have not thought about Marilyn Manson's contributions to this album at all.
Yeah, there's like just some heavy guitar or like just really heavy bass in a way that I think is could have been what he brought, but again, I have no idea.
It kind of like in the vein of his like sound or production.
Yeah.
I just really like the line butt naked in the kitchen cooking grits, tell your mama come give me a kiss.
That's right. Wow, that is a bold line.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Somebody's in the comments was like, production reminds me a lot of Good. I'm probably just blasted off this copium, but considering the pick of him and Lean with Ye, you never know. And somebody has Good written, like in the written by, is it Good? I don't know who this person is.
I don't know either. I feel like I'm getting such insight into them though.
I know. Every time Ye comes out with a new album, I learn about artists that I probably should have already known about.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Who else? What else do we got? It goes from
We Did It Kid
to We Did It Kid.
The anthem.
Which, how do you feel about We Did It Kid?
This is the kind of song, and just in terms of the way it sounds, isn't always my favorite. Like, I tend to not like anthemic songs that much. I don't know, they all kind of like sound the same to me, where like, you know, a brass and a massive buildup throughout the entire song, and it's great, like look at us go, like that vibe, like isn't always my favorite. But I think the song, in a just in terms of what it's doing, is kind of beautiful. Like, it's in an album where Kanye's lost his, feels like he's losing his family, he's got his crew around and these guys who build him up, and like Quavo,
yeah.
I don't know why my instinct is to say Quavo. Quavo and Offset, like, they're trading bars and they have such energy, and it's like very infectious and uplifting in a way that I really like. So that's what I think.
That's good. I think for me, it's always like how much Kanye on a song is usually directly related to how much I like a song. So it's like usually the songs that have the least amount of Ye are my least favorites on the albums. And this one kind of like goes into that. Like, I think everybody did a good job. It's just there's not anything that like really jumps out to me in the song that I'm like, oh yeah, let's go.
This song is not finished. There's definitely going to be a verse from Kanye.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But like, just thinking about Praise God doesn't have a lot of Ye, but yeah. Praise God is just such a cool fucking song to me.
Baby Keem killed it so bad that Kanye was like, I can't follow this.
I tap out. I can go toe to toe.
I can go with Five-Yo.
Yeah, Five-Yo, but I can't, like, Keem has just got to bow out.
He did it out of respect to Kendrick Lamar.
Pablo. We got Pablo now, which, great. I was shocked when I saw the Pablo name, because like ever since The Life of Pablo dropped, we haven't heard Ye really.
You're right.
Like, refer to Pablo. And so having a song that's called like Pablo, like, I'm actually really curious to dig into the lyrics of this at some point, because, you know, I've listened to it. I like the flow of it, the rhythm of it, everybody's performance. It's just, I haven't paid a single iota of attention to what's being said. So yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see like what connection we make to Pablo or don't make to Pablo.
Mm. Sonically, though, it's really awesome. Like, it's the perfect song for Travis Scott. It's intimidating and irreverent, but also like brooding. It's like so self-aware in its execution. Like, it presents this lively atmosphere, but it's also like, but it has a forlorn tone the whole time. And it, like, the bass is what really does that. Like, it's so, it goes so hard, yet it has a melody and like all these like little touches and fluctuations. It's really amazing. Like, I guess it's that Mike Dean touch. Like, he just, the way all of that is carrying the song, is it carries the song in a very unsettling way, which is cool.
It has some of that like Yeezus like energy to it, or I mean, even some like Pablo energy, right? Like Feedback, yes, freestyle that. Four. I can't get over like Pick Me Up Before I Drown.
Oh man,
yeah, this is a cool song.
I think I'd rather just listen to you sing it though.
You know, many feel that way.
Clip that out in the YouTube video and make it a meme.
Oh, now we get to my least favorite one.
Oh yeah, Go ahead.
I feel bad because it's like it's an emotional Virgil. One. Yeah, with Virgil, like I stopped buying Louis bags after Virgil passed. Like, there's actually,
I stopped buying Louis bags after Virgil passed. I stopped buying Louis bags after Virgil passed. I stopped buying Louis bags after Virgil pass.
Yes.
Why do you not like it, Chris?
That's great. I like that part. It's just the rest of the, it's just like the production of the song isn't quite like my vibe, and just the momentum of it. I'm kind of like, okay. I wanted to do a little bit more. I still know how I feel about Jack Harlow's verse.
Ooh.
Like first time I went back and listened to it, I was like, it's not really jumping out to me. The second time I was a bit more like into it and feeling it, especially the changes and kind of like flow that he has at a couple points. It feels like it shifts a little bit and is starting to like have another gear, not in the same way that Baby Keem's verse did in Praise God. But that was the thing that I really liked about Keem's verse in Praise God, is that he kept changing gears throughout the verse and kind of elevating it. And Harlow does that a little bit here. So I think I'll come around to it. It's just, it's one of those songs where I wish it was doing just like a couple more things and I'd be good with it. Yeah. But right now it leaves me wanting a little bit more.
I get that. Like, you're just not into the style, not so much like the lyrics, which I think this is more of Jack Harlow's style from what I've heard of him. Like, he does just like change it up and have like these subtle shifts. So I'm not sure how much this seems in line from usually what I've heard from anyway. But I do like what he's talking about. I think the whole song is really interesting. And I agree with you that like it's a lot of ideas there, but it could become something better. Like, they could probably do more with it, but in just the basicness, the basic concept of the song, I like Kanye's making it clear that Virgil is what made Louis Vuitton cool. Like, that's what we invest in. We invest in these people with ideas that run the company and not just the brand. We ain't doing business, there won't be no business, you know? Like, Kanye's in reflecting that back on himself. And then you have Jack Harlow, who has this newfound fame and is experiencing like what it's like to be inspiring to people in real time. So it plays with this idea of like legacy and impact, like Virgil's impact post-death, and then somebody's impact who's on the come up in the presence of Kanye West, who has a huge impact. It's really cool, all these different layers it has.
I do like that. That's an element I hadn't really thought about, which is cool. I feel like when we do the lyrical analysis, I'm going to talk myself into liking, especially if there's anything else that's maybe like added or not. But even if it's the final version, there's just like everything with the Virgil stuff is just so emotional. And then if we ain't doing business, there won't be no business is a great line with everything he is kind of been talking about and getting into this idea of like empowerment, and especially empowerment of like Black designers, Black voices. It makes me think a lot of his Black Future Month speech.
Right.
So there's a lot that I'm into. It's just the production aspects. And I don't like the modulation they did with the Kamala Harris. Like, it kind of creeps me out how they have it. Like, we did it, Joe.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was like, what are you talking about?
It's haunting to me. Like, I don't like hearing it.
I didn't realize that was Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
So you don't mind the repetition on the song?
No, the repetition is the other thing that
gets to me. I assume that would be the thing you didn't like.
Yeah, it's just hard to like complain about the repetition of something that's as emotional as like, I stopped buying Louis bags after Virgil passed. It's like, it's a very important line. And me being like, I don't like the repetition. Just.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I don't want to feel the way that I feel, but it's how I feel.
Good. I want you to feel that. That shame.
Yeah. And then Happy, which is renamed. Great. That was initially what?
Oh, yeah. What was it?
I'm trying to find it on the genius list. Okay, they just have it as Happy on there now. It was something like a fuller phrase.
Let me look at my... I have the original track list.
Oh, do I phone. Look happy?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I love the concept of it being called like, do I look happy? Because Ye has so many photos of him not smiling and not looking happy. So the song being called Do I Look Happy was really kind of meta and self-aware to me in a way that I really liked. Having it called Happy, I'm not as big of a fan of.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's trying to be an ironic title.
Yeah, I tend to like titles. I don't like one-word titles that much when the word's like so basic.
What a specific complaint. What about Wolves?
Wolves has a little bit more... energy to it, I think, than Happy. Right. Like, Happy's just so generic.
But maybe that's the point.
I guess so.
I just like, love being look happy advocate. More?
Yeah, you pot stir.
I just challenge everything you say.
Happy, this is another one that I haven't quite, like, connected with.
Mm-hmm. I you're not a huge Future fan, right?
I've never really listened to Future, and like the not connecting with is more so that in my listens through the album, this one hasn't jumped out to me more so than I'm not like liking it.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where it's just for some reason I haven't been like, oh, Happy, this song, this line. It's kind of flown under the radar so far.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot conceptually. I definitely like Future's verse. I think he goes hard. It's awesome. Like, he paints such incredible imagery, and he describes himself and his life and his ego so perfectly in a way I can like picture him. And then that's pit against Kanye, who's kind of talking about like his possessions a lot. Like, Future seems at peace with his image and his possessions, while Kanye is starting to realize like the emptiness of it, especially when like you don't have a family anymore, and like what good is all this stuff like in your life and the way you're presenting yourself if like you don't have anybody to share it with. And it gets at the idea of money can't buy happiness, like that's why the song is named what it is. So I like it conceptually, and it'd be cool to see it become something, you know, fuller.
Is there, this does seem like one of the longer ones of like 4 minute 46 second runtime. Like, in terms of like become fuller, do you mean in terms of production or yes. Okay,
I hate to like who am I'm just a podcast host like telling people like what they should be doing of songs. They probably are doing that kind of stuff, but it just feels like there could be something about it that makes it just a little more heavy and intense, you know. I don't know,
like one production element that's kind of missing, or like one sound that you wish that it was doing.
Yeah, or maybe it could just be shorter, you know, like it keeps going and something like that. Like it just I like it, but I wish it hit more than it did.
That's the opposite of building out.
Well, I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think...
How's making it shorter?
Because,
building it out.
Well, I don't think the idea that, like, adding to it and adding more bar, like, that doesn't necessarily give a song more idea. Like, you can give it more power and more emotion if you, like, if you had this really intense element of it and it was just, like, there for the time it's there. Like, I don't think listening to something heavy for 8 minutes that makes it more intense than something that could be heavy for, like, 2.5 minutes. Like, if you do it really well in those 2.5 minutes, like, it can have more of an impact. You're bringing your own ideas into this and, like, what you like, because you like songs that, like, do more. Like, I don't necessarily think that's always necessary for a song to have more of an impact.
I'm just being pedantic about the idea of, like, building out versus, like, when you said build it out, I was like, oh, he wants to, like, add.
Well, things. I don't mean longer.
Yeah, that's what I thought was by build out.
Right. No, just like fuller.
Okay. What more do we have? Oh god, we have to go on like a medley at this point.
All right, let's go. We can do it. Sci-fi. It's great.
Oh, but sci-fi is like one of the best. Sci-fi is one of the best ones.
All right. Oh, no. It's cool. I knew that the opening of that song, the music, it's like the opening scene of like a super tragic epic movie. It gives the song this like gargantuan feel, you know?
Yeah, just Kim doing this was her intro at SNL.
Right.
And it was to set up a joke of I married the best rapper of all time, like richest black man in America, talented, legit genius. And she's like, so when I divorce him, you know it's because of his personality, which is such like a cruel thing to say.
Right.
And you'll have people being like, oh, it's a joke. It's like it was on SNL, blah, blah, blah. Kanye agreed to it. Eh. Like, I don't think that makes it okay. And it's one of those things like he might have agreed with it because he didn't realize Kim was dating Pete already. And then realizes, like, oh, she's, like, saying this stuff while she's already, like, moving on and dating this guy that she's kissing in front of me. It's in the aftermath of this, I get why he could feel a certain way about it.
Mm-hmm.
So having, like, the first part but leaving the second part unsaid is something I really like. I didn't realize it was Sean Leone. In the first verse. And he tweeted out earlier today about, like, how much of an honor it was and... he's excited to tell the story of how this came about. Maybe we'll get that story, you know?
Yeah. Man, that line, though, like, make a choice, oxygen or Wi-Fi, like, that's some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This idea that, like, technology can disconnect you and, like, you're only seeing your family over Wi-Fi. But as pit against, like, this idea of, like, being with them in the flesh, like, oxygen, like, and then, but on top of that, just like realizing that's the case, you know, like realizing like this is your life now and that you can't just have them close whenever you want.
And feels like it's also getting at bigger things too of like, you know, do you want real life or do you want like Wi-Fi, something that's like digital and superficial, like challenging people in that way, like Matrix style. Like, do you want the red pill or the blue pill? Which one are you taking? Are you taking the real or are you taking the fake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's great.
Then we get Selfish, which, like, Selfish is also very cool to me.
Yeah. That was the song I was trying to think of after the listening party where Kanye had, like, the awesome flow, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
I put me first, Lucian. So that's him talking to Lucian Grange. Yeah. The Universal Music Group CEO. Man. Yeah. It's a cool song, and you get X coming in with another chorus, which sounds great. Yeah, that's another kind of haunting song.
Yeah, good stuff.
Which, wasn't that supposed to be... Oh, no. Okay, it was near the end in the track list he posted. Mm-hmm. All right. And then Lord Lift Me Up, which I saw somebody post on Twitter. They're like, this is the worst like Kanye song of all time.
Wow. It's great.
Yeah, it has no Kanye in it. It's just like a Vori song at this point.
Great.
But like Vori's doing good work. It's pretty. Like, I'm excited for it to be built out.
No Child Left Behind Part 2, baby.
Oh, yeah. That kind of is. Like, it's a more like
dynamic No Child Left Behind.
Hey, but you might be right.
And then Keep It Burning is the one that you haven't heard, which
I'll just shut up for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, go listen to as soon as this ends.
I was going to listen to it. I felt kind of bad listening to a SoundCloud version. I was like, I'll just wait for like when Kanye re-uploads it.
Nah, you can go and listen to it. You don't have to. You don't have to refrain from listening to it.
I'll feel guilty.
It's okay. It's okay. Just listening to it once is it gonna?
It always starts with one cigarette. It's just one cigarette, man. And then you're addicted.
It's true. That's what Dare taught me. Dare taught me that if you had a single puff of weed,
yeah,
then you were going to get hooked to PCP and jump naked under the hood of a police car.
Such incredible imagery. I love it.
Yeah. They were really... Dare was a trip, man. Yeah. Talk about
Officer Williams, man.
But Keep It Burning... You know, I was listening when I first heard it. I heard like the first verse and I was like this is okay. And then like, I don't know how like into this I'm going to be. And then when the sample came in of just like burning down the house, I was just sold. Like immediately just like catchy. Awesome.
All right. I'll also do it on SoundCloud.
Yeah. It's really cool. It samples, I guess, the Talking Heads.
Oh yeah. Burning Down the House. Of course.
Yeah, I had no idea. I've never listened to the Talking Heads.
Burning down the house. You never heard that song?
No. I've heard what's the song like? Dun dun dun. 1945 and the world's been the.
Oh, the REM song.
Is that what it is? No, the oh my god, it's like the 50
end of the world as we know it. Oh, okay.
No, it's like all these decades with the. We did start the fire. That's it.
Oh, we didn't start the fire. Yeah.
We didn't start the fire.
I mean, we don't have time to talk about this, so maybe we can save it for next episode. But I'm sort of just like my face right now. Like, you've never heard Burning Down. Like, to me, that is one of the most like ever present songs that's ever been made. Like, it's been used in pop culture so much. Like, to not be able to hear that song, like, that's impressive that you've never heard that song.
Never heard the song, but that's like you never hearing Chop Suey by System of a Down.
It's exactly like that.
Exactly like that. And then we have City of Gods. Love which it. I still don't know if it's going to be on. I mean, I guess it is going to be on the album since it got uploaded to the Stem Player. But I guess this might be a dual album track, Favio and
Ye. I mean, Kanye says on it, like, this is the feature of the year. He has a feature on his own album. That's the most Kanye thing ever.
I didn't even think about that.
Then the discussion of like what was the best feature in a Kanye album, like Kanye's automatically number one. That's why he did it.
Kanye had the best feature on a Kanye album. Just 2022 things. And then first time in a long time.
I like this. I think Soulja Boy is really good on it.
Like everybody was kind of just like, what? Like Soulja Boy, like Draco came through.
I mean, Kanye loves him. He said that Soulja Boy was like the most influential artist of the last 5 years, or like top five artists or something like that during the Drink Champs interview.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Here he is. Yeah,
but yeah, it's a good one. And yeah. What Soulja Boy ends the album, which is kind of wild. At least this version of the album, the last verse. Is Soulja Boy, which I don't think that's how the actual album will end, but
it'll probably end with Things Change, don't you think?
I better somebody's like, they almost got through the whole episode.
I had to bring it up.
Yeah, I'm just gonna open one of our YouTube videos with like, hey everyone, my name's Chris Lambert. On this channel, we talk Things Change. Just see what the reaction is.
And in this channel, we can't talk about Things Change because Kanye ripped it away from me.
All right, well, anything else?
No, we need to end it. Chris has got to go.
All right, yep, until next time everyone,
stay wavy,
keep it loopy. And they ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.